Philippians chapter 4. So far we've said in the book of Philippians, we've gone through and looked at Christ, what Christ should mean to us as believers. In chapter 1 we said that when Christ is our life, when Christ is our life there should be confidence. Confidence in various ways. In chapter 2 we said when Christ is our life, our mind, when we have the, let the mind of Christ be seen in and through our life, there's effectiveness. When Christ is our goal, it changes our character. Now in chapter 5, when Christ is our strength, there will be caring. I think as you read the New Testament church, you'll find that God meant it to be a caring church. A church that is interested in the well-being of every member. It's a church, as you read the New Testament, which portrays the character of God as He would have looked after every member individually. The church is not meant to be a social organization which deals with the welfare of the world. I believe with all my heart what the world first and foremost needs is the gospel. And when men and women are saved, then the church needs to care. I think somewhat we've put it the other way around. And in our day and age, we're trying to care for people without giving them the gospel. But the Word of God gives us this idea that the church of God should be a caring church. A church that looks after the interests and the welfare first and foremost. Now don't get me wrong though, I think if there's needs around us and we can be involved in those needs, let's get involved. But I'm talking about the emphasis today in general. That's the broad statement of what the church is involved in. The church should be a caring church. If we're to be a caring church, where does caring begin? Where does caring begin? Does caring begin by us looking after others? Does caring begin because we can see a need around us? I think as we go through this chapter, we'll see where caring begins, what caring really is, and how caring is to be seen and felt within the fellowship. If we're going to care for people just because there's a need, then you're going to get utterly frustrated. Because there's more needs than you can meet. And there's more needs than I can meet. And there's needs that we'll find ourselves unable to meet. I think chapter 4 gives us a good basis on what caring is about and how it should be seen in the local church. Chapter 1 there, verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. When Christ is our strength, we'll care for others. And I believe the first principle in caring, where does caring begin? I think it begins when we stand fast. When you and I are going to stand fast in the things of God, then you can care for others. If we're not standing fast in the things of God, what is it? It's just humanism. But when we're standing fast in the things of God, it's the life of God and the character of God being transmitted to other people. And that's what caring is all about. It's getting the character and life of God involved in other people's lives. So stand fast. If we don't stand fast in the Lord, I think what Paul is saying here, I don't think there can be the caring which is from the Spirit of God. We need to stand fast in the Lord. You have to have strength to face the brethren, and you get that strength when we stand fast in the Lord. What does it mean to stand fast in the Lord? Well, I've just given a list of things that you can see in the Word of God of what it means to stand fast in the Lord. In Romans 5 and verse 2, it talks about standing fast in the grace of God. Romans 5 and 2. We'll read 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, what are we to stand fast in? In the grace of God. Why? Because it's through the grace of God that we have peace with God, that we are made right with God. And so Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says that we are to stand in this grace. What's caring about? Is it about giving meals? Is it about giving financial help? Is it about giving material help? No, no. Caring is about helping other people to see that the grace of God is sufficient to meet their needs. And if we can get people to see the grace of God is sufficient to meet their needs, they'll begin to trust the God of all grace. And Paul's saying here in chapter 5 that we should stand fast in the grace of God, which has brought peace within our hearts. What is it usually that causes people to have the most trouble and to need the most care? Well, it's the lack of peace, isn't it? And if we will stand in the grace of God, then others will be challenged to stand in the grace of God, because that's the kind of attitude that we're conveying to them. That we should stand fast in the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, that we should stand in the truth of God. That we should stand in the truth of God. I believe in chapter 15 he writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand," the truth of God. Now, we were doing this morning, the thing that Satan wants to deceive believers and both unbelievers about is that the truth of God is not complete. It's not complete. And we have many theologians telling us that the Word of God is not complete today, that we still need revelations and visions. That God still needs to give us something else. Now, if you go to the Mormons, they'll say, "Now this is what God has given us, the Book of Mormons." If you go to the JWs, they'll say, "Now this is what God has given us, an extra revelation, the pearls of great price." And anyone else that claims that they need more than what the Word of God has given us, got in it, is falling short of this very truth. They're not standing in the truth of the Word of God. How do we care? Where does caring begin? When we stand in the truth of God and we can say to others, "No, God said it, you can believe it, and it'll be beneficial to you." Caring begins when we deal with the inner man. The outer man will come next, I believe. You deal with a man's heart, you'll change his outward attitude. But I think we've got ourselves today in trouble in many areas of our Christian activity because we've dealt with the outside and we haven't changed the inside. Caring, according to Paul, I believe, is when we, as people who desire to care, would stand in the grace of God and see it sufficient for our needs. When we would stand in the truth of God and seeing it as being ultimately the voice of God in every action and attitude in our life. We dealt this morning in our Bible study with Satan and how he came to Eve and deceived her into believing that God was holding out some more truth. That if she'd only eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she would become as God. And of course, she believed the deceit of the devil and she fell. And then Adam, of course, believed the persuasion of his wife. And he just tripped over himself to get involved in the act. When we stand in the truth of God, we'll be caring people, people that care for each other. When we stand in faith, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, and it says, "Not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand." And I think when we stand in faith, we're beginning to care for people. It's when we stand in the battle. Well, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 to 24. Now, we read that this morning, is that the battle is the battle which we are involved in. And just one more reference, and I'll put that together, Galatians 5 and 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in our liberty. What Christ has done for us, brought us free. Okay, let me put it all together. It's as we stand fast in all those things that we become caring people. Caring people are not people that have all the resources to meet people's needs. Caring people are not people that have got all the financial resources to meet other people. Caring is when our heart, and when we're standing fast, we can point others to the grace of God. We can point others to the truth of God. We can point others to faith in God. We can point others to being victorious in the battle. We can point others to the liberty that they find themselves in. The Christianity does not make us into an equal people. You know what I mean? I think this idea is one which, again, has come from the activity in our day. Some of our women's movements of the day have done a lot to foster this idea that there's got to be equality. There has to be equality. Well, the Word of God says, yes, we're equal in the sight of God, but equality also has to have, alongside of it, leadership. And God doesn't guarantee that He's going to make us all the same, in the sense that He hasn't said to me, well, Harry, I'm going to make you very rich just because you're a Christian. There is nothing in Scripture which says that when you're saved, we'll all have the same material things. Paul never wrote to the slaves to become free. But he writes to the slaves to enjoy their slavery. He never wrote to the masters how to liberate their servants. But he writes to the masters how to be gracious to those who are under them. He never writes to those which were poor a key to becoming rich. Christianity doesn't make you rich, but he tells you how to enjoy being poor. And he never writes to the rich telling them how to give away all their money. He says, you enjoy the privileges which God allows in your life. Christianity doesn't put us all on the same plane in the sense of material possessions, social places, or anything like that. It makes us all people who are individual, who God deals with as individuals. Now, how can you who feel you might have no material needs begin to care for people that you see around you that way? Because caring begins in the heart. How can I begin to care for people whom I can't reach their needs physically, whom I may live next door to, that way? That's where caring does begin. It begins when I stand fast and I can say to someone, I haven't got the means to meet your need, but I know there's a God who's able and He can meet the heart need that you're facing. Caring people are people that have learned to stand fast. Now, in Philippians, Paul's writing to this, to these people in chapter 4 and verse 1, and there is, and he wants to bring, if there be any consolation, if there be any caring in Christ, chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And he's writing to them because if they can stand fast, they can start caring for two people that are having a barney in the church. The two people that he writes about in verse 2. But it's got to come from caring people. We don't have to have all the resources at our fingertips to begin caring for people. But when we stand fast, then our hearts begin to start meeting the needs and saying, God is able to meet your needs. Where does caring begin? It begins when we stand fast in the Lord Jesus Christ. When our strength comes from, where does our strength come from occurring? When we stand fast. It doesn't come in our education or our material possessions or in our personality. It comes when we see that the things of God are appropriate for people's needs. Verses 2 and 3. I beseech Eutychus and I beseech Syntychus that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. What does caring produce? I think the first thing that comes to our mind again is that it meets physical needs. In verse 2, here's two ladies, and I'm saying they're ladies. Is anybody hot? No, everybody alright? You feeling okay? Not pointing this way. Here's two ladies in the church, and they're doing what some ladies often do. They're having a disagreement. I don't know what it was over. It doesn't say. Probably one decided they'd have white bread for communion and the other said, no, we've got to have brown. Or they brought the wrong flowers. I don't know. And Paul doesn't tell us whether... but he does write, and he said, now look, he said, you who are standing fast, would you care for these two ladies? I beseech these two ladies, though, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Well, that's a good advice, isn't it? That these two people, that they one doesn't give in to the other, but that they both give in to the Lord. Find out what he wants and give in to the Lord. You have brown one day and white the next. And he says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. Do you know, Paul doesn't say to Eutychus and Syntychus that they're no good. He said, they've helped me in the gospel, now I want you to help them in their need. Someone needs to care for these two ladies. They've helped me, so will someone help them? And with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And I want to suggest that these two ladies who had two different opinions need to be cared for. And caring always brings, first and foremost, peace. When the church begins to care for people, it always brings peace. If someone looked after those two ladies, what would come to their situation? Peace. Peace. Because those two ladies would stop their disagreement and they'd become of one mind and of one heart and there'd be peace. And of course, because those two ladies are in agreement, there'll be two families that would be in agreement. Because a lady always affects her family and her children. And it's not long before you realize, man, that church was split right down the middle. And this whole lot would come together and someone would have cared for these people. The ministry of caring is always bringing peace. It's always bringing peace. Now, I'm not talking about famines, I'm talking about the local church that we're involved in our daily life, that as we care for each other, it's going to be done by people who stand fast in the Lord, and they begin to bring peace. Jesus said that, didn't he? He said, well, blessed are the peacemakers. And I think that principle goes in every dispensation, that God has looked for people who would bring peace to situations where there was no peace. And I've just got three references there. Galatians 6 and verse 1. When there's caring, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. When there's caring involved, then what would result from caring was that there would be peace when there's pressure. When a man's overtaken in a fault, he could be restored and receive his back again in his heart peace.
there would be peace when there's pressure. Philippians 2, that looks like 14 to 18, I think that might be Philippians 2, 14 to 18, that's the wrong reference, that should be Philippians 4. No, it can't be. That's the wrong reference. I don't know what reference I was thinking of there. Oh, yes. No, that's right. Philippians 2, 14 to 18. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this dark world. Hold forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day that Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labour in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause, also do you rejoice with me. And here is Paul. He's talking in chapter 2 of the problems. Some people were murmuring and disputing. They were grumbling and complaining. And so he writes and says, when there's a caring church, in the midst of problems, they'll bring peace. And then in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2, when there's personality differences, the caring church always brings peace. The ministry of peace is seen in caring. It's seen in caring. It's seen in bringing peace. And I believe that God wants to bring peace to every situation. All right, one, finish. Verse 5, the effect of caring. The effect of caring is seen in verses 4 and 5. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In verses 4 and 5, we've got the effect of caring. The effect of caring is seen, we don't have to tell people that we are caring for them. We shouldn't have to keep saying, man, you know, I really care for you. Just like we shouldn't have to tell people what gifts we have. We should be just able to live our lives, and the gifts that we have should be manifest. But we shouldn't always have to be keeping telling people, oh yeah, we really love you, we really are caring for you. It's like one of the churches that we used to belong to in England, we visited oftentimes, and they'd say, hello, it's so glad to see you. And then that's all they ever said to us. After a while, you think, well, are they really glad to see us, or is that the extent of their vocabulary? That's all they know. We're so glad to see you. We found out later that they were very, very shy people, and that was the extent of their vocabulary. They were just village people. They were very warm underneath once they got over their shyness. But we shouldn't always have to be telling people that we really do care for them. The effect of caring should be felt. The effect of caring should be felt. Here, Paul says, let your moderation be known. The word moderation means big-heartedness. It's been translated as forbearance, yieldedness, kindness, gentleness, consideration, mildness, generosity. You can put any one of those words into that verse. Let your kindness, your mildness, your consideration, your generosity, let that be known unto all men. One of the old translations translates it, and let your sweet reasonableness be known unto all men. When we're caring for people, we won't have to be telling them that we're caring, because it will be known. It will be felt. It will be experienced. as we let our reasonableness, our kindness, our consideration, our generosity be felt amongst all men. And as we care for people, that's what they should feel. They should feel that, man, this person is so reasonable in every effect or effort of his life. The effect of caring will be that it will be felt. Caring will be felt. This brings us to a problem. Because usually we have to tell people that we care for them because we really are having a hard time with them. We've tried to help them a million times and they've taken our help and then gone and made a mess of it again. We've helped them and they turn around and they're no better off because they haven't learned the lessons from our help. So we want to give up with them. And usually the attitude of our heart is, man, I've told that person once and I've done this for them and now they're in the same position again. And we want to give up. And we get upset. And we can get to the place of being angry yet still trying to help people in various situations. We can get really angry inside because they're not responding the way we hope they should respond. Isn't that person dumb doing the same thing that I just explained and told them not to do? They must be as thick as two short planks. And these are the attitudes that go on in our minds, see? And we go up to someone and say, oh, brother, I love you. We really are caring for you. Yet the attitude of our heart is completely different to the action of our life. Well, what are they going to get? I tell you, they don't get what you say, they get what you are. You pick up what people are, what people's attitudes are really towards you. No, have you ever felt that sometimes? You've wondered what's wrong, that guy's saying something with his mouth, but I don't get it. That person's saying something and it doesn't really come across that way. It's coming across all different. What's wrong? And you think that you've got out of bed wrong or something's wrong with your heart. Caring is not what we say or what we do. It's to be felt and experienced by people. Now, I know that's hard because of all the students that we have to care for and of all the things that they do wrong. And of the millions of times that we have to sit down and counsel with them, and we go over the same thing over and over and over again. And I know sometimes you come to the place where you begin to say, oh Lord, would it be good when they finish the course? In other words, I'll be glad when they've gone. And you begin to say, oh, that's wrong, those people will never be helped. They'll never be helped from my ministry. And that's not caring. I think what Paul's trying to say in Philippians here is that all men have got to know your sweet, reasonable attitude. That all people who you care for have got to know your mild generosity. So that caring is to be felt. And I think this gives a new slant to caring. Every one of us can care for each other even if we can't meet that need physically. We can stand fast. We can bring peace. We can let people know the sweet reasonable of our own attitudes. As God cares for us, we are going to be caring for others. We're going to be meeting needs and encouraging hearts, causing people to just keep pressing on in the way that they should be pressing on in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just one more point, caring for others, in verse 6. Caring for others, Paul says, be careful for nothing. Now that doesn't mean to say we're to be the most uncareful people in the world. That's an English word that's changed its meaning. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. The word care there means anxious. Anxious. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In verse 6, we've got the cost of caring. The cost of caring is, of course, that it's to be without pressure. the cost of caring is it's to be without pressure. We're going to care for one another, then it's not got to be done under pressure. And we've not got to let the pressure of caring get on top of us. When you begin to care for people, it puts you under pressure sometimes because you think you're responsible for that person's welfare. Well, that's not true. We're only responsible to share the truth with people. I'm not responsible to change anybody's life or to make anybody different. I'm responsible for information that the Holy Spirit can take and change somebody's life. I'm not responsible to make people make decisions. That's why this morning I said to people that if anyone wants to testify, you certainly can. Now, I could this morning have put pressure on and made you testify, but I'm not going to do that. A testimony has got to come from a heart and from a life. It's not my place to pressurize anyone. It's my place to say there's opportunity, and here's your opportunity, and if you'd like to do it, you do it. Let it come from the heart. Now, in caring for people, it's not my responsibility to make people respond to how I'm caring. I can care for somebody, and they can turn around and do something which I think is absolutely silly. Now, I'm under pressure then. What do I do? My problem is, or my responsibility in caring for others is that I've not got to get under pressure, that I've got to let it be without pressure. Now, sometimes when students will come and ask and sit down and talk with me, and they say to me, boy, you must lose a lot of sleep over me, and I reassure them, no, I don't. I don't lose a night's sleep over you because I'm not getting myself under that kind of pressure. It's not my responsibility to lose sleep over people. It's my responsibility and yours, if we care for them, to show them the truth and to leave it with God. So he says, and in verse 6, don't be anxious about people. Don't be anxious about people that don't respond. Now, I'm not saying that I'm careless, I have a concern, but I think we take it too far sometimes. And we take our brethren home with us, and we take them to bed with us, and they're in our minds. And sometimes we just can't get them out of our minds, and we lose an awful lot of sleep. We become under pressure. Now, the word pressure, the word careful, means to be pulled in different directions. And that's what pressure and anxiety does. It pulls you all over the place. It's like being stretched out. It's like the elastic band, you know, you're stretched out. Or glad wrap. That's a good good definition of pressure. You know glad wrap? You pull it tighter. The other day, we cut a melon in half and scooped some of the inside out, and we pulled this glad wrap right over the thing, and we pulled it so tight that the pressure inside pulled it down. And you can do that. The pressure inside can cause such a vacuum that it'll just pull it down. Now, that's what Paul's saying. But be without that kind of pressure. And there's three, I've given you three references there, which you probably can't see too well, which use the word careful. The cares of this world, the care of the church, and in 1 Peter it says, the answer for care is casting all our cares upon him because he cares for us. Paul then says, don't be anxious about anything when you're caring for people. When you begin to care for people, don't get anxious about that kind of person, about where they're at, about what they're doing, about their response, about their negativeness. Just don't get anxious about that. But by prayer, supplication, the giving of thanks, let your requests be made known unto God. Caring for others shouldn't put us under pressure. We should care for others without that kind of pressure. In those first few verses then, Paul's brought out, I believe, what it is to care for others. Only as Christ is our strength will we be able to stand. Will we be able to bring peace? Only as Christ is our strength will our caring be felt and will our caring be experienced by other people. Only as Christ is our strength will we pay the cost of caring, that we'll do it without pressure. And I think that's exciting. A tremendous exciting that each one of us has the potential within us to care for somebody else in this fellowship. Not that we have to go and share our material things. But when we can do what Philippians 1 to 4 says, caring for each other, thus we care for each other in that sense, we'll find the effect of the Spirit of God begin to minister to our hearts and minds.